one podcast, mining the Magic the Gathering community for salt. This is the Howling Salt Mine.
It's the Howling Salt Mine. The Howling Salt Mine.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Howling Salt Mine podcast, the podcast where we delve into those salty, salty minds of the Magic the Gathering community, find the saltiest stories, the salty posts that we love, those salty confessionals that we crave. We put them in our minecart and we bring them right back up to you, our dear prospectors at home. As always, I'm your host, Sam, and I'm joined with my two co-hosts, Mike and Tony. Say hey, guys.
What up, what up, what up?
Hey, guys.
Ooh.
It's been a while since we've thrown that one in there.
I literally, I was literally biting my tongue to like stop myself from doing it, but you did it anyway. So,
Cool. Before we step into the mine any further, we got to do it. You know, we got to shout out our nice tier patrons.
Nice.
Yeah.
And this week we have Alex Balix, Cream Bean, Hephaestus Bolts, Prime Speaker Florian, Yafe Judge, Accidental TPK, Royal Flood, Digimans, and Dr. Black. Thank you for being so nice, everybody.
Wah.
Appreciate that shit.
Wah, wah.
Wahoo!
Wahoo!
You're so nice, you really make me want to say, did Zoom pick up on any of that?
Sadly, I don't think it took it. I don't think it did. It was like picking it up, but then it was really nice. You want this filtered because you don't want this to happen. But it was like, no, it's kind of nice. Like, it should let it happen. Yeah. So it went
my
back
Mario dying sound.
See, that one was much better.
I had to restrain myself a little bit for that one, though. I wasn't going as whole hog into it this time. So what's new, guys?
Mario do that? Well, my mom's book is coming out soon, which is pretty exciting.
That's sick.
It's getting all kinds of like press. It's going to be very cool. I think it's going to be a great book. It's on like Amazon's top 10 for the month. It's on like,
that's like a big deal.
It's just super cool. I think people will be interested in it. I'm going to shill for my mom, of course. So.
Yeah, at some point you should probably say the title of the book. I would hope.
So it's called Anibot and it's by Sierra Greer. And it's like a near future sci-fi book. And it's about a robot companion, like sex work companion robot that is owned by a guy named Doug.
Wow.
Is it Doug from the Discord?
No, that's a dog.
I'm just double checking.
Yeah, but it's wild. You're reading from her perspective.
Oh, from the robot's perspective?
From the robot's perspective.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
And she's kind of a new model that's like supposed to be able to learn and develop new skills and think through things. So there's sort of this discovery of humanity a little bit through it.
Oh, that's sick, dude. That sounds awesome.
It's really cool. I read through it in like, I was actually reading it at Chicago and I was like, I can't quite get through, like I'm at a Magic Con. I need to finish that first and then I'll read this. But yeah, read through it since I got home and it's great. People like breeze through it when they read it too. So
that's cool as shit, dude. That's awesome.
When is it available?
It comes out on March 19th. And you can pre-order Amazon stuff. Yeah, really soon. That's why.
When this episode airs, it is already out.
I think, is this coming out next week?
I'm hoping.
Yeah, so this will be right before.
Right before it.
Right before, basically. I knew I was timing this, guys.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
I hope that, you know, since it's about like sex work and stuff like that, I hope our podcast has been educational for your mom to pick up on such terms like dropping loads.
Oh my God.
Shooting rope.
Yeah, shooting rope.
Can you imagine?
I am a proud.
Did that appear in the book at all?
No, but I am a proud consultant. She reached out to my brother and I to ask for help with an endearing insult that one, like, you know, a guy our age might call one of his friends.
You gotta tell us. You gotta say what it
no,
is.
No, you have to read the book.
Oh, damn. You fucking tease. What a
Actually, it's a good tease because I really do want to know what you said.
I know. But once I read that insult, the book's going down, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'll read the whole thing.
You get to the end of the book. Did I miss it? Read it again.
Where was it?
Is it cock gobbler?
I won't be. I will say she ended up taking a combination of two of the insults that we had proposed.
Whoa, a little wombo combo action.
So a little smashing together of some opinions there. Yeah.
So it's familiar, but it's like near future where you're like, well, we aren't quite saying that yet. Just come up with some new slang.
Yeah, that's like a little hip, maybe. it's great. It's great.
Oh, that's dope, dude. That's really cool. That beats the shit out of the opener that I was going to do, which is talking about how much I love peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Yeah, and the weather was good today, too, right?
Yeah.
It was actually kind of shit, unfortunately. Oh, man, that's awesome.
That's super exciting,
that's
dude.
Sick.
Good for your mom.
Hell yeah.
I can get after it.
There is a funny little bit of unlucky search engine optimization that I feel bad about because AnnieBot is also the name of one of the practice dummies in League of Legends. And I didn't think about that as a warning until like now. So if you just search the name, sometimes a League of Legends character shows up, but usually it's I think it even shows up if you like.
I get the book immediately when
I
search
the book right away.
It's the book, a Twitch account, and then League of Legends stats.
Yeah. Soon it will just be the book.
I can't type AnnieBot Mike's mom. It's not going to come up if I do that.
It won't. It won't come up.
Damn it.
I don't know. Will it? Yeah, it doesn't come up when I do that. Oh, but it does come up in the image search when I do that.
Hell yeah.
It's crazy.
Nice.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
Man, wow, that's fucking wicked.
That's
cool.
Fucking super dope, dude. I love that. Well, congrats to your mom, and hopefully some folks pick up that book.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
so peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. What kind of jelly are you guys putting on those things? You know what I mean? I'm kind of a strawberry.
What
guy.
Kind? Fucking Welsh. Oh no.
Yo, blackberry jelly though.
Oh, dude. I feel
that. That shit slaps. That or raspberry. It's blackberry or raspberry.
Oh my God. It's just grape jelly for me. If it's going on a PB&J, whatever.
The weakest of all the options.
Fucking grape jelly on my fucking PB&J.
Well, sometimes I would sprinkle salt.
I literally was going to be like, they don't have butter in the mine. So maybe we should get in there.
You know, so some butter has salt and some doesn't.
Oh, man. Well, we're doing something a little bit different today, guys. We don't have salty stories for you, but what we have are a collection of salty takes.
Salty tales.
Things that make people salty. You may have heard in our MagicCon Chicago episode that we went around on the last day of the con and asked a bunch of convention goers what makes them salty. And today we're going to be doing a what makes you salty lightning round, where we're going to try to zip through as many of these as we can, listen to them, chat a little bit about it, dip back in for another soundbite, and just kind of see where it takes us. This is an experiment, an experimental episode.
Yeah.
New ground is being tread. This is a whole new shaft in the mine.
So if you hate it, don't review us on this episode.
Before we jump into it, you know, we chatted with a bunch of people and we got a bunch of these sound bites and we're not going to be able to hit them all. So if you gave us one,
thank you.
Know that we heard it and laughed at it and we appreciate it. And thank you very much for giving us your salt. We can't get to everything, but we're going to try to fit as many into this episode as we can. If we do have a bunch of leftover, maybe we'll do something with them someday. Who the fuck knows?
Yeah.
We certainly don't.
Since this is pretty new, like, let us know if you like it. And if it's something great, then we'll probably continue trying to do it at other conventions we go to.
Yeah.
So let us know whether or not to, you know, keep spending our time asking people questions instead of playing more CDH games, because I know that was the decision for me.
Mike's not salty. Also, if this is your first episode of Howling Salt Mine and you've made it this far, get the fuck out of here. Go listen to our regular content.
Why did you listen so long?
If you made it this far, like, you do belong here, but not just start at a different one.
Yeah, don't judge us by this experiment. Judge us by our high quality other episodes that are tried and true. Well, should we get into it, guys?
But Sam, what's salt?
Thanks for asking, Tony. That's a great question. That definitely got there unprompted. So yeah. Organic. Mm-hmm.
It felt really organic to me, and that's what's important.
Salt is frustration in the game, as we like to call it. Salt is everything from the small grains to the full shakers, and it can be little salt, like the vibe is off at a table. Maybe somebody is kind of refusing your deals in a weird way. Maybe they don't want to have table talk. Maybe they're getting a little bit salty just because you're removing their stuff, which is typical gameplay. But for them, you know, they're special and shiny. They don't want their stuff removed. And they're getting a little bit grumpy about it. That can be an example of little salt. Big salt are people, you know, blowing up all your lands, hub stomping you. Maybe they have a Thassa's Oracle deck in your pre-con game. Maybe they're disingenuous with your pre-game conversation about power levels. Or maybe they're just an asshole and they're mean and they're threatening you with physical violence or some other awful, deplorable thing that should not be happening in an LGS. Salt is really an umbrella term. It's a range, and we are here to talk about all the different types of salt. And even more so in this episode, we're going to be talking about a lot of different types of salt. So I think by the end of the episode, you'll have a pretty good picture of what salt is. And we talk about it because it's educational. This is an educational show, really. We want to learn about salt so we can hopefully not be salty in a future game that we play.
Nice. Organic.
So organic.
That was organic as fuck, bro.
Yeah. It's about as organic as a 40-pound chicken.
Yeah.
Should we get into it?
We should.
Yeah. All right, let's hit it. Let's jump to our first soundbite.
What's your name?
I'm Ryan from at Commander Paradise.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Ryan, what makes you salty, dude?
What makes me salty is people who play extra turn spells without knowing how their deck works. That's my
that's
least favorite
so specific.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't know what the deck does, and they're just like, I'm going to take an extra turn. Why?
Yeah.
You want to play an extra land? That's cool.
It's a really good growth spiral.
Dude, yes. Sometimes an extra turn is just a growth spiral. Valid if that's your plan, but it often is not.
It's a lot of dirtling. Yeah. So, yeah. I don't hate extra turns, just when you don't know what you're doing.
Yep. Hell yeah. Appreciate that, dude.
You're very good.
That's a good one, man. I completely agree. I think directionless extra turns are a huge source of salt.
Yeah. Well, I remember this one because of the specificity of, like, not just like the extra turns, but it's like when you don't know what the fuck your deck is doing. Like, you're just doing it for the sake of doing it. And so you're just like continually taking more turns. You're like, bro, you're just slowing the fucking game down. Like, what's going on?
The extra turns are almost just like a victim of the other part of not knowing what your deck is doing.
Yeah.
The more
sure.
that I think about it too, like, that's the real crime. And then you just happen to have an extra turn spell in there.
Yeah.
I think that it's kind of this thing with extra turns where, like, if you're in a turns deck or you have a turn spell in your hand, your goal becomes to cast the extra turn spell. But really, extra turns aren't a goal. They're like a means to an end. Mm. So if you're only thinking as far as casting the extra turn and then you don't really know what to do after that, like, you know, you start your next turn up and you're just digging and dirtling and people are like, why did you waste our time with an extra turn? Is it truly to just draw a card and play a land?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, there's almost an expectation around an extra turn that, like, you're going to just fucking win the game. Like, you play it and, like, do they win here? Like, and a lot of times they don't. And you're almost annoyed when they don't because you're like, okay, well, now you're just delay. Judge. Delay of game. Judge.
That definitely makes me salty, too. I think people just dirtling with extra turns is a big source of salt for sure.
Cool. Should we hit another?
Let's do it.
All right. What's your name, dude?
Karim.
And what makes you salty?
In CDH, I hate meta decks. Blue Farm, Kinnan, Rock'Sai, can pull, catch a bullet. Although I do play Kinnan as well, so you kind of got to do it.
The salt's in your veins.
Yeah.
It really is. And then I guess in casual, just instant speed scoops. I do not like that.
Yeah, dude, bad manners.
If you're going to die to my combat trigger, just die. Like, or to my damage trigger, sorry, just die.
Yeah.
I'm attacking you with the intention of getting those treasures, that life gain, whatever it is. You need to die and play your part.
Based. So true.
Truly.
So true. Well, yeah. Thanks, dude.
Absolutely.
I feel like that guy fucking gets it.
Yeah.
Like, fuck blue, right? Am I right?
Fronts. screw meta decks. I play Kinnan though. That shit is so funny.
That is so true in CDH, man, because I feel the same way. I want to play off meta stuff, and then I'm like, but these meta decks are good and they're fun to play sometimes.
No, but I mean, we talked about this earlier of like Blue Farm, or were we chatting about it or something?
Yeah, like, I think we're talking about it in our Discord about Blue Farm.
Blue Farm sucks. Blue Farm sucks.
Yeah,
it's legitimately a decent, good, solid deck, puts up results, all the stuff, but man, it sucks.
The thing is, it is a good card pile. It's the, like almost the same as five color good stuff in CDH. It's just not running green, you know what I mean? It's just four color good stuff. Like I think I was saying in our Discord earlier that I really miss when Timnacrom was Opus Thief, because it had much more of like a defined identity,
had an opinion.
You were like wheeling, you were really going hard for breach freeze wins and things like that. And it just had much more like flavor to the deck versus just being like, these are all the best cards that are just going to give me weird mid-range value and I'm going to control the board and then I'm going to win at some point.
Mm.
I also really liked what they said about instant speed scoops. The way they phrased it was play your part. And that is like so true with it. Like at that moment, your part in the game is to take the damage, allow the triggers of your opponent to go on the stack and to die. Like that is a critical part. You know, some cards need your opponents to die.
Your role is to fucking take it. Fucking take it.
Do your part.
Your part.
You're the heel.
You're death. Death.
It's my boot and it needs something to stomp on and you're the thing.
Yeah. Look, a WWE chair smash isn't impressive as no one's getting smashed. So you gotta stand there and flop.
Yeah.
Oh man, I agree though. Instant speed scoops, I think almost everybody gets salty at that. I haven't met a maniac yet that is like, no, I'm cool with that. It's great. Definitely scoop at instant speed.
Yeah, take whatever you can to have any kind of impact on the game, even if it's screwing someone over. Definitely.
Let's hit another one.
So what's your name?
My name's Jesse.
And what makes you salty?
When other people get salty about my Zergo land destruction deck.
Oh my god. Tell us about your deck.
It uses World Slayer. Nobody ever likes it.
Oh yeah, because World Slayer hits lands, right? Yeah. It's everything, clean wipe.
You use it on when you use it with Zergo when you're attacking, and he's the only thing that doesn't get destroyed.
He's indestructible. Does World Slayer kill itself?
No.
Oh my god.
It kills everything except itself.
It's so fucking gross, dude. And you say people don't like this deck for some reason.
It's all Board Wipe Tribal. It's Board Wipe Tribal.
So it's not just World Slayer.
Oh yeah, it's not just World Slayer. It's Board Wipes until I get to World Slayer.
Don't worry.
Oh man.
I would fucking hate it too.
You are a sicko. We found one. I love it, dude.
I love that the next story is going to be people playing Zergo World Slayer.
Yeah, right. I love it, dude. Hell yeah.
Fucking sicko.
It's great. I love that.
There's always one.
Yeah.
Should we read World Slayer real quick?
Let's do it.
Let's not. I don't want people to start fucking putting in decks.
Yeah, don't buy it. It's actually super expensive. It's cost prohibitive. World Slayer is an artifact equipment, costs 5 mana to cast, and it says whenever equipped creature deals combat damage to a player, destroy all permanents other than World Slayer. And then Zergo Helm Smasher is a Mardu commander. I'm not going to read it top to bottom. Pretty sure he's a 7/2 if memory serves, and he is indestructible when it's your turn. So Zergo... Zergo is just like, this is the Zergo build. People play Zergo, they play World Slayer, and they attack people and kill everything. And, you know, we say don't blow up lands unless you have a follow-up plan. And having Zergo out technically is a follow-up plan. So
that's
like
a plan.
How big is he though? Like a 9-something?
7/2.
7/2.
7/2. That's still fucking like
just through shouting people.
That's a lot of turns, like definitely like gonna win. Pretty hard to not. But then there is a chance that somebody like pops a planes down, casts a Swords to Plowshare or something. And now
just
guess
restarted.
What? The game has been re-fucking started.
Yeah, that's the danger. Or you know, they respond to the World Slayer trigger and destroy the World Slayer or something, or Zergo or what have you.
Yeah.
I guess the real tech is just run all like indestructible lands.
Oh, like Darksteel Citadel?
Yeah. And there's like there's a cycle of dual lands that are indestructible as well now. The artifact land ones.
At least get three of those in there. Yeah, those three artifact lands.
So you get three of those.
I don't think there's enough lands to get anywhere near
Darksteel Citadel, Cascading Cataracts. We're in business, actually.
you got a stew.
I'm brewing.
I mean, I can see why people get salty about this, but at the same time, you do have a plan. Like, it's not, I don't know. It's a hard one. Like, I think because the game doesn't end immediately, it is probably going to feel weird. And like Tony said, like, it's going to take some attacks to get there. But at the same time, you do have a plan. I can't fault you there.
I can't fault you. It's fucking stupid. Your deck is stupid. I hate that.
if I'm playing into a Zergo Helm Smasher deck, I am immediately asking if they run World Slayer. And I hope that they are truthful in that moment.
Yeah, true.
I mean, you're going to know from the fucking smile that comes across all their faces when you ask.
The twinkle in their eye, the devious look.
Fucking shit.
I do like the whole, like, I get salty from them getting salty thing, though. It's such... so emblematic of Commander players being like, I want to be able to do my thing. You guys can't like be upset that I'm just doing what the deck is supposed to do. It's like, yeah, you did build it. We got to be ready for that.
Exactly. I think we'll find a small theme there. It actually relates pretty well to our next soundbite that we have here.
And we have Paul, or is it Punk? All that jazz.
Is it Punk? What makes you salty, Paul?
Oh, Toxrill players.
Toxrill players.
All day.
Yeah.
All day. Because they all say the deck's not that bad. And then they all run clones.
You're fucking right.
Yeah. Yeah.
They make clones and they make 50,000 slug tokens and they think it's okay.
Yeah. It does suck.
Yeah.
Yeah, Toxrill, it's like Coma. There's like this weird thing where you get a creature on everybody's turn, cost 7 mana, and it just makes the game a slog. But when you have one,
it feels
pretty good, though.
Yeah, you're sacking those slugs, drawing those cards.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah.
And it's like, oh, yeah, here's 5 Toxrills, no legend rule. Oh, and what's that? I drew my deck in with the lab man out.
GG's.
I haven't seen Toxrill with clones, but that sounds awful. I have that heard sounds horrible. People saying recently that with all the printings, we're heading into the Clone Wars.
I agree.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, to be fair, I do play Garuda. I do play Garuda clones. Hey.
My man! Big dog!
I know I got all 3 printings of that, too.
Hell yeah, dude. I love that. Well, awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate the salt.
Oh, man. That is a funny one. Big dog. Shout out to Paul playing Garuda. What a G.
I feel like the key thing there for me was how he talks about, like, the players who make these types of decks always say it's not that bad.
Yeah.
And, like, it's so true because they definitely do. Like, anybody who builds, like, some super toxic deck is building it because they're like, this will be fun. Like, it'll be cool. And they're blinded by it. I've done it. We've all fucking done it. Or we've like made a deck and we're just like, yeah, everyone fucking hates this. But you're just like, it's not that bad. Like, come on. And you're trying to justify why your deck doesn't fucking suck, but it does.
Yeah, I think a big problem with those decks is trying to play them at like lower powered tables. Like, if you're going to build a Toxrill deck, play it at power level 8, trash magic, and own up to what the deck is. Be like, I'm going to play Toxrill. I'm going to make 4 clones of Toxrill, and I'm going to try to overwhelm the board and win, and you guys better come correct and try to beat me, or your decks better be just as broken and powerful.
Yeah.
So it's like a balanced game, you know?
Yeah. Right.
It's whenever they try to like really pass it off as like, no, I can hang with a 7. It's, you know, I got no tutors in this Toxrill list.
Right. Like, don't just, you know, set the budget at $40 and then say, oh, it's only $40. It can't be that good, you know?
Yeah, for Toxrill, but for other commanders, it's fine. Like, Garuda's cool.
Yeah,
Garuda's
other mentioned cool. commanders in the story.
I don't know. I think we'll have to jump to the tape on that one. Sam, edit that out.
The next story? Or
I do want to talk real quick about what you said in this soundbite, Mike. I don't know if people fully heard that, but talking about like the Clone Wars and how there are all these commander cloning effects. And I keep seeing them. I think there was just another one printed in the Fallout set that makes a copy of a legendary creature and strips it of the legendary super type. And to me, I do feel like that design space is getting kind of bloated. And I think it is making some decks kind of boring. Cause like, I find myself wanting to reach for clone effects when I have a linchpin commander that has like a powerful triggered ability or powerful ETB or something like that. Like, obviously my Garuda deck is built around clones. But even Emoti, my Emoti deck, I was like, this would be pretty fucking good with a Spark Double in it and a Sakashima and a couple other clones, because then I can have two Emotis, you know?
Well, that's the thing. Like, no matter what you do, every commander deck would love to have another copy of its commander. Yeah. Even if it's not hyper linchpinny, it's still going to be built around the colors, like the way that commander works. So it's just like, why wouldn't you want it? And to your point, it just means like, okay, well, now I should be slotting that card into like every single deck that like can run the colors.
The other scary thing is you only need a certain critical mass of those copy and make it non-legendary in order for the other clones to start being effective as well, because you only need to hit one of those clones that de-legendaries it, and then you're off to the races. You can just clone it normally from there, like clone that non-legendary copy.
Yeah.
So, you know, as soon as there's like three or four de-legendary effects in a deck, you start getting pretty likely to hit one by the time you need it, and then you just follow it up with all of the other clones, of which there are plenty in the game. They've just been held back in Commander since the main things that you might want to clone are legendary and they have that nonbo.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of like a slippery slope, I think, with that design space. Like, I think we're going to get to a space where some of those clones just become ubiquitous in decks that splash blue or decks that have blue in them, because for the most part, they're blue. And I don't know, it's just going to be kind of a weird thing. I think it's a challenging space to be in.
Mm. And it's not like needed. It's not that interesting.
Yeah.
In my opinion, agree. Anyway.
Like, there was a time where I was stoked, like when John Arrhenicus's Vile Duplication was spoiled, I was like, oh, hell yeah. We finally have like a third or fourth effect that can clone a legend. And now I think there were like a handful in Doctor Who, and now there's a handful in Fallout. And I'm like, all right, maybe not that many, though, you know?
Yeah.
Especially in these side sets that I don't, you know, care about as much. Like, I don't know.
That's how they get you to buy the cards.
I know. I don't want to have to buy them, though. All right. Let's jump to another one.
So what's your name?
Tito.
And what makes you salty, Tito?
What makes me salty? I'd probably say Nekusar does.
Nekusar.
Even though I have a deck.
There's a trend, dude. People are like, this makes me salty unless I have it. Then it's cool. What do you not like about Nekusar?
Well, they always target you when you're playing them.
So that's the opposite side of it, right? That's not like, hey, what's happening? It's like, nah, leave my shit alone.
Like, yeah, I never said I'm salty because I'm playing against Nekusar. I'm salty because they kill me because I'm playing Nekusar.
That is a good salt. I feel that, dude. I feel that salt for sure. Hell yeah. Well, thank you, dude.
No problem.
Appreciate
man.
It.
Oh, man. So funny. Shout out to Tito. Tito ripped the Fallout Collector Edition booster pack and like got some like banger cards and found us at the con and had us sign them for him. And it was just a vibe. It was very, very cool. I do love that, though. That's so similar to the Zerga Land Destruction one where it's like,
it is.
I don't like it when people get salty at me when I play my gross decks.
Yeah.
I love that we got Nekusar showing up in this story too, because we've talked about Nekusar like so many times. Like at least made a stand-up appearance in like five episodes, I would bet.
Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah, it pops up constantly, dude.
Should we do another one?
Let's fucking keep hitting it.
Say what your name is?
I'm Shannon or Shannable.
And what makes you salty?
Okay, so I cubed yesterday.
Oh, this is salty from sauce. This. Nice. This is fresh salt.
And there was a person that was undefeated because of Hogak. And kept on bringing Hogak back over
kept
and over
bringing
again.
That hoe back.
Yeah, that hoe back. Bringing it back crooked. Yeah. Anyway.
Bring
in hoe back. I removed it twice and he still came back.
Oh, yeah. My God.
And I got demolished and it was not a good time.
That's good salt. I love that because sometimes people are like, we'll just run more removal then. It's like, I fucking removed it.
I sideboarded. So like after our first match, I sideboarded to add more removal and I still lost. And I was like, oh no. God.
Love it. Well, thank you for the salt.
Thank you.
That is such a good one, man. I like even just hearing myself on the recording, I know what I'm thinking about. And it's fucking Archfiend of Ifnir. That one game where I removed it a bunch and Mike was like, well, you should probably remove it more, run more removal. And I was like, I fucking removed it twice, dude.
I thought you were just thinking about bringing Hoback back.
Bringing that hoe back.
I'm bringing hoe back.
Bring that hoe back back.
Should we read Hogak real quick? I don't know if we've ever talked about this. So Hogak, Arisen Necropolis. It's an 8/8 legendary creature avatar. Costs 5 and 2 split Golgari mana. And it says you can't spend mana to cast this spell, but it has 2 abilities that will help you cast it. Convoke and Delve. So each creature you tap while casting the spell pays for 1 or a mana of that creature's color. And each card you exile from your graveyard also pays for 1 colorless. And of course, you can cast it from your graveyard. And it's got trample. It just needs a little bit more, you know?
What makes me salty about this card is that I was with Mike drafting when this set came out. Mm-hmm. And I got this card and I like made a good deck and mm-hmm. I got my cheeks fucking clapped. Yeah. Like I should have won with the deck I built. And I was like, am I bad? Like, what's going on? And I remember showing Mike the deck later and he's like, you actually definitely shouldn't have. You should have fucking won. I was like, okay, at least I'm not total trash. Like, should have happened. I guess I'm a bad pilot, but like I built a correct, fucking limited deck. So
yeah,
whatever.
The deck was fine, but I mean, something happened. So.
Piloting error, yeah.
Because I was learning from you how to fucking play.
Okay. I also probably 0-3 dropped that draft, so.
Hogak is interesting, because wasn't Hogak like the scourge of modern for a little while?
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was like, it was incredibly busted and it got banned. I think it's still modern banned.
Oh yeah, it is still banned in modern. Crazy, man. Yeah. I've literally never played a game against Hogak. I think the thing that makes me salty about Hogak is that it just makes for a very weird commander deck.
Yeah, it's not really a commander.
Yeah, but it's cool.
Despite being a legendary creature, it doesn't really make sense as a commander. I mean, you can convoke it in even when the command tax goes really high, which is cool.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So if you have like, it's just still, it's hard to put together the deck that like actually makes it.
I don't think so. I think it's just like a very basic Graveyard Matters Golgari deck is what it is, because yeah, it's like you just get all of the shit in your yard and like do stuff. Like you might not even need him to be out. Like it's probably not going to be around Hogak. Like he's a little beater, you might play him at some point, but like he's not the point of the deck, I should say.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that is like weird, because it's not really a build around commander, and then it's like, well, just put something else in the command zone.
Yeah, because it doesn't really do anything for you. It's like, it's not that useful to be able to delve cards out of your graveyard mm-hmm. into exile, right?
But in a 20 life format, I mean, an 8/8 trampler is a fucking house.
Yeah, it's a menace. Like, it's exactly. Insane. Exactly.
Absolutely. Well,
right, let's jump to the next one.
And what's your name?
I'm Brad.
And what makes you salty, Brad?
If I had to say one thing, it'd be Cyclonic Rift.
Oh, yeah, valid.
I like a good specific salt. Yeah,
yeah, very valid. I mean, when you have it, it's great. When you don't have it, it sucks. Yeah.
It's cool, right?
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's the 2 mana version of it that makes it
Yeah, the mini one is annoying.
That really gets you.
Mini Rift is really annoying.
Oh, yeah.
Well, sweet. Thanks for the salt, guys.
Yeah. You guys.
That's short, sweet, into the salt right there, man. Just fucking Psych Rift.
That is short, sweet, into the salt. Like, nothing else to say. Mini Rift is the worst. All right, next.
Mini Rift.
Psych Rift doesn't make me as salty anymore these days, you know?
Because you don't see it. When's the last time did we see a Psych Rift get played?
I guess that's a good
true.
Point.
We don't
I
run
really
it
don't.
At all. I think the thing about Psych Rift that makes it less salty for us is we talk all the time about how, like, if you're going to have a board wipe, like, you got to have a follow-up plan or something. And, like, at least Psych Rift, that's kind of built in because of the asymmetry of it, where you're just returning everyone else's stuff. So, like, usually you should have the follow-up for it, but
I feel you bigly there. Mm-hmm. Let's hit another one. This one's for you, Mike.
What's your name?
My name's Nate.
Nate, what is making you salty?
When Timeless players always seem to have 3 Orcish Bowmasters in the top 15. Happens a lot.
See too many Bowmasters?
Oh my God, dude.
I feel you. That's good salt. Thank you.
Is that something that happens a lot, Mike, in Timeless?
Yes, dude. The format is, I mean, when it came out, it was just like Bowmaster.format.
What is Timeless? What is like that format?
So Timeless is essentially every card on Arena.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha.
Like everything.
Do people play that?
Yeah.
Like people in paper? Like,
People in paper play in paper.
Okay, it's like an arena only format. It's basically like what is it? Like an eternal format, but
yeah, it's basically Legacy, but for arena, and it's still missing some things. Sure. Like it doesn't have the power in it yet, but like it has things that are banned in Modern and banned in Legacy in it, or not.
Does it have like the Power 9 Conjure shit in it too?
It does have that. So it also has Alchemy stuff in it. So, but honestly, a majority of the cards that people are playing are not Alchemy cards. Like. There's a, every once in a while in the queue, you'll encounter some people that are running an alchemy card or two, but usually it's everything else. But yeah, Bowmasters, the thing is, Brainstorm is in the format too. So a lot of the early days of the format were, what can you do to make sure your Brainstorm doesn't get Bowmastered and to keep up your Bowmaster when they're going to Brainstorm?
Oh my god, dude.
If they Brainstorm and you get a 3-3 and 3 damage off of one Bowmaster, that's pretty good.
Bowmaster's a replacement effect, right?
No, it's not a replacement, but they draw 3 cards.
Sorry, so... I mean, if another Bowmaster comes out, it's the latest Bowmaster, or are there just two? They all trigger.
It's not like Notion Thief. Yeah, they all trigger.
Yeah. So that's the other thing. Sometimes you'll play one Bowmaster, and then if they've got, you know, if someone has multiple, they play the one, then you like maybe deal with the Bowmaster itself, but the army is still around, and then they play another one when you're trying to do something, and now the army is like a 5/5, and you're like, okay, really nothing for me to do.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you just juice up your orc army so much if you have multiple Bowmasters out. It's like insane, dude.
I love that. I love a little Timeless Salt.
Another one?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, let's keep it rolling.
Who are we here with right now? What's your name?
My name is Ross.
And Ross, what makes you salty?
Ooh. So there's two in specific things. Number one is repercussions. I hate yes. repercussions.
And do you mean that generally? Like consequences for your actions? Or
no, the card.
And why did you get so excited about that over here?
It hit the board one time, and I don't think I've ever seen him so salty. Like, he doesn't get salty, but like, he got salty like immediately.
So I'll write in a story about it, but essentially, I play a lot of creature decks.
Yeah.
And I love creatures. So anytime that I'm going to combat or somebody plays a Blasphemous Act, I'm just dead. On the spot.
Yep.
So
I
despise repercussions. And then my friend, who shall not be named, Bryce.
Prospectors know.
Prospectors will know. He makes me salty.
Oh, yeah. He makes all of us salty.
Yeah.
I forget the exact episode, but people can find it.
Yes. Sam in post-production will put it in.
Yeah, exactly. Sam in the recording room, put that in.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
Dude, thank you so much.
Well, thanks, Ross. Yeah. Thank you, dude.
I love a specific salt, man. When someone says a specific card, that just like makes my heart sing, because I know that they've been fucked over by that one card so many times.
Yeah. And I love that idea too. It's just like, I like creatures. I want to play them. Fuck, this one card that always deals with that.
Well, that's the thing. Literally, he's like, this one fucking card. Like, I feel like there's a lot. But repercussion sucks. I've had my cheeks clapped many a time by Nick specifically with this card.
Big cheek clapping episode for you today, Tony.
That has entered your lexicon so
like,
hard.
Who are you
dude?
Talking to that's really talking about clapping cheeks all the time?
Repercussions. I got them clapped because of repercussions. It's a repercussion of my actions.
I just feel like that has entered your lexicon, and it's not good. It's like slay and clapping cheeks has just like shot to the
That's
top.
All you're doing.
Tony is slaying
and clapping.
Tony is
cheeks.
Clapping cheeks. Tony is getting his own cheeks clapped.
Yeah, just feels like the right description in this scenario.
Real quick, I am going to read repercussions for people who don't know it. It costs 1 and 2 red. It's an enchantment. Whenever a creature is dealt damage, repercussions deals that much damage to that creature's controller. So, of course, a Blasphemous Act dealing 13 to all of your creatures would kill you very hard. The interesting thing is that it's not asymmetrical. Like, if you have a repercussions out and you Blasphemous Act, you better have like 1, maybe 2, ideally 0 creatures on your board.
Yeah, but you can do that. You can have 0 creatures out, and often the decks running like repercussions, like Mogus or something, are these like spell slingery decks that are then following up with a board wipe.
That's a very, very good point.
Yeah. Always though, like sometimes they're just swinging with like beefy red stuff and
with lifelink.
Yeah, and then it's like, okay, block it, but now you're going to take the damage anyway, and your creatures, like,
die, yeah.
Yeah, ugh, such a vicious cycle.
Dude, what about, like, a Firesong Sunspeaker deck where your, sure your red spells have lifelink, and you just, dude, that's pretty good. Yeah. All right, I'm brewing
Does the spell deal the damage, or does repercussions deal the damage?
Repercussions deals that much damage.
Okay, so you need to find a way to give repercussions lifelink.
But you would still, your spell, like your big Bernie board wipe would still gain you a shit ton of life before, I think you would break even.
Oh, true. Yeah, but we need blue in there. It's got to be Jeskai so that we can animate, enchantment animate repercussions and then give it lifelink.
Yeah, dance of the manse. Dance of the manse your repercussions.
This is so ridiculous.
Give it indestructible. And then
she dance on my manse until I repercussion.
Oh god, dude. Also, because I said that I would reference it, that Bryce salty story is in episode 58. So go check that one out. Oh. It's a fucking banger. That dude is a big piece of shit. Sorry, Bryce.
Sorry, Bryce. Let's keep this train a rolling.
Let's keep on rolling.
Rolling.
Say my real name, or should I say?
You can be like, I'm what's your name, dude?
I'll just say Scott.
Hell yeah.
Big dog.
Scott. And Scott, what makes you salty?
I hate theft decks. Cannot stand theft decks. My best buddy that I like played with growing up, that's like all he did was just like Esper control and theft. So now I have like Homeward Path and like all my decks, nice. Basically.
Yeah. Little PTSD, like, Homeward Path.
If you see Homeward Path spiking, it's because of me, because I'm buying all of them.
Hell yeah, dude. That's good tech, too. People should be running that card more.
Yes. Absolutely.
Well, thanks, Scott. Thanks for the salt.
Thank you.
Big dog.
Big dog. Theft decks do suck.
Yeah, theft decks fucking suck, man. It's like, true. Whenever I come up against a Queen Marchesa deck that is...
Or a Rubinia deck. Or...
Yeah, or Rubinia. People who brew that shit are...
Real dicks.
Probably, like, real shitty.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that, like, honestly, we went this far into the, like, salty stories that we captured and didn't hit on one. And I think part of that's because, like, they're kind of meta dependent. I feel like you don't hate a theft deck until you've had one played against you. And then you're like, yo, fuck this shit.
Yeah.
I definitely agree. I also think that it's something that, like, kind of gets, like, soft rule zeroed out of the format, like a social ban kind of thing, because it does make people so frustrated. It's one of those decks that, like, we kind of talked about it earlier. On paper, it seems so cool, and then you play it and all your friends are just really sad, and you're like, what am I doing here?
And that's usually it. They're sad. They're not mad. They're sad.
Yeah, they're like,
which is distinctly different.
The first time that you threaten, like, steal someone's creature, they're your enemy for the rest of the game. And then you do that multiple games in a row, and then that deck is their enemy every time it comes down, and you don't even get the chance to go for it. And I also feel like just a lot of threaten effect, or not threaten only, but just generally a lot of theft effects are, like, pretty bad rate as a card in general. Usually you're paying a pretty steep price to steal something from someone else, except for steal enchantment, which is great.
Pretty cheap and pretty awesome.
Yeah. And very cool.
I think when it comes to theft decks, I would rather have you just destroy my creature than steal it and use it against me and then sacrifice it. Like, there's something like psychological about it. It's like, like, I would rather you let my creature resolve and hit the board and immediately destroy it than counterspell it. I don't know why, because the end state is almost exactly the same. But there's just, like, some kind of psychological thing where I feel less salty when there's just typical single target removal. But when you're taking it an extra step and, like, I don't know, it just does something. When you're using my resources that I've spent my cold hard mana on, like, it just does something to my brain.
Yeah.
The last thing we were recorded, you were talking about building a fling based deck.
Oh, yeah, dude, that deck fucking rocked, though. But that was 1v1. That was a 1v1 theft deck. And it was literally all the theft effects, all the fling effects, and, like, bone splinters and anything that could sacrifice a creature for value. Oh, that deck ruled, dude. I still have it together. One of the few decks I keep together for nostalgia purposes.
Oh, my God.
All right, let's hit another one.
Yeah, I was going to say, we need to get away from this.
So what's your name?
Sarah.
Sarah, what makes you salty?
Infinite combos.
I couldn't even get the question
out. No, it's fucking infinite combos.
Was there some fresh salt this weekend?
No,
are you coming
actually,
right off of the game with an infinite combo?
No, my playgroup at home, some of the guys do a lot of infinite combos, and it drives me up the fucking wall.
Now, what don't you like about infants? Do you not run them?
I don't run them at all.
Refuse to?
Absolutely refuse. Yeah. And I'm just like, okay, so you made a million mana. Like, how did you just, how does that make you win?
But it's so fun to make infinite mana.
I'm talking to the wrong person. I got you.
You're getting no sympathy for me. I appreciate salt, though. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, I think infinite combos are fine. I don't know what you're talking about.
That
Sarah.
Was quick, though. You literally didn't finish the sentence.
They're like, infinite combos. Right for it.
Yeah, she just fucking hit it. Yeah, I mean, infinite combos, I get it. I get it. They make people salty, but I love them, man. You know what I mean?
It's one of the sad ones where, like, the only way to get through that is to play them, sort of, in my opinion. Yeah. Like, if you've got other people playing them, it really is like you brought a blade of grass to their gunfight. Like, you didn't even
I feel like she was hinting at something deeper there, though, of like, okay, you have infinite mana, how does that make you win? Of like there's also something about like infinite combos that don't actually end the game. It's just like, I have infinite mana, I'm lording this over you, I've accomplished everything, I've basically won, you guys should just concede. Which I have seen shit like that happen where someone's like, I now have infinite 1/1s. It's like, okay, do they have haste? No? All right, then we got to play out these turns.
Yeah, let's fish for a board wipe or
just
something.
Infinitely tap and untap your basalt monolith, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly.
Yeah, that's definitely fair. I mean, I get that aspect of it. Honestly, lately, as I've been thinking about like power level, I feel like if you have an infinite combo in your deck, it immediately pushes you up. Not because infinites are so horribly strong, but because the interaction suite that you need to stop an infinite usually doesn't exist in lower power decks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true. Often you're running things a little more sorcery or a little like less easy to deploy your removal. So it's definitely harder.
Higher cost, maybe less interaction overall, more like 3 mana value instant speed removal. So I think like if you do have a deck that has an infinite in it, you got to be upfront about that in a pregame. And if you're not, it's going to make people salty if you surprise them.
And you get to brag about what it was, right?
Yeah.
It'd be like, this actually runs Basalt Monolith and Mesmeric Orb for an infinite combo so that I can mill myself. Thank you.
Does anyone want to hear me explain how it works? All right, let's hit another one.
What's your name?
Dan.
Dan, what makes you salty?
Actually, Spell Snare makes me incredibly salty.
Spell Snare?
Yeah.
The counterspell?
Yes, we're just stepping into CDH, and I've tried to deflecting swat Spell Snare to deflecting swat.
Yeah.
5 times and failed 5 times.
Because it's so specific.
Because it's so specific, and everything resolves, and I hate it. I hate it a lot.
Yeah. Tony has the same hatred of the misplaying into the counterspells.
I just can't do it. Everything else is fine, but it's just that one.
It's awful.
Yeah.
Appreciate the salt.
His counterspells are dumb.
Tony doesn't know how counterspells
work. This is
work.
Blue. It's like counter the fucking spell. So that's what I try and do. Like, whatever. Fucking whatever.
I love this one, man. Spell Snare, for people who don't know, it's a 1 mana instant, cost 1 blue. Counter target spell with converted mana cost 2.
It's such a random card to be super salty about. That shit's really funny.
It's hard to... You can't swat it to many things. Like, no. It's a counter spell that sticks. It can't hit much, but you also can't change it too much.
Yeah, that's interesting. Sorry, how does it read again? Is it the converted mana cost is 2?
Yeah, counter target spell with converted mana cost 2.
Yeah, that's kind of brutal.
Yeah,
not
I mean,
hit very much.
That's something that like doesn't come up too often, because often in RCDH you're swatting like a counter spell to another counter, but like with Spell Snare, your options are limited, man.
Yeah. It also, it hits your Dockside and it hits your Thassa and it hits your Tainted Pact and the Underworld Breach. So it hits all these like critical, there's all these critical.
It hits important pieces. For sure.
I mean, you think about the lack of creature counter spells in CDH is something people talk about all the time. And most of those creatures are 2 CMC.
Yeah.
Mm.
Another?
Hell yeah.
Let's do it.
What's your name?
Patrick.
Patrick, what makes you salty?
When Tony shows up to the con and not Pat.
Fuck this guy. fuck was that? Fuck you. Whoever you were, fuck you.
Oh man, that's
bullshit.
That's one of our Des Moines, Iowa friends.
Yo, fuck Iowa.
So good, dude.
Top tier. Number one salty man. Lightning round right there.
All right, there was more salt to it.
Very good. Thank you for the salt. You got a real one?
I think my own misplays.
Yeah, feel you there.
When you do it and you know you did it, and then you're like, well, there went the game.
Yep. Yeah, that sucks. I vibe with that. Thank you for the salt.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about that a lot. It fucking sucks, man.
Yo, fuck Pat.
I talk about this every single time I play a game. I played a CDH game with Sam earlier this week, and after the game, I was like, I think I did every single thing wrong that I could have done. And I don't even think I'm exaggerating. I think from turn two, from turn one, I was misplaying. I think I chrome moxed the wrong card. And all went downhill from there.
That is the worst. Chrome moxing the wrong card is like, I think there are these small decisions that can be made in CDH that like make or break a game. And it's what you put under the chrome mox, what you exile to Gemstone Caverns. And if you're in like a high multicolored deck, what lands are you fetching?
Yeah.
Like in a five color list, if you get the wrong lands, like I saw this picture on Twitter the other day where somebody had like four dual lands out and none of them had green, and they had a handful of green spells, and they were like, I fucked up. It's like so bad. All the mana dorks and like Carpet of Flowers are just stuck in their hand.
I mean, I guess I assume it's situational, but like, what is the first land you go to grab? Is it not? It's always something with blue, right? But like,
it depends.
It's often Tropical Island.
Yeah, I think Tropical Island is a big one because you need the green for mana dorks if you're in that color, and you need the blue for counter spells. Lately, I've been getting Tundra a lot.
Tundra and Savannah bangers.
Yeah, Tundra and Savannah, because a lot of the white cards that are played in CDH are two white pips.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be really like your Ranger Captain and your
Grand Abolisher.
Yeah, if you don't do those fetches then down the road you might find yourself strapped. Also, like if you leave one Tundra up, that's some of your one CMC counter spells, like your Swan Song, your Fluster Storm. It's also your swords. So
your silence. Yeah.
It can be
great.
A ton of interaction on one single land. So I've been liking Tundra a lot lately.
I feel like I always grab Savannah first, but you know. That's a
shit.
In your two color deck.
So aggressive, Mike. Oh my God.
Next, you're going to say you're getting into Badlands recently.
Yeah, with your fucking Obnixilis deck. Dude. All right, let's keep on keeping on.
Who am I here with right now?
I don't know their names.
No, Bobby Christine.
Okay. Oh, I'm Bobby Christine. Hi.
And Bobby Christine, what makes you salty?
Let's say control magic at the hour and a half mark.
Oh, that is a good one. That is, I love the caveat. Yeah, the time limit.
I'm not saying control magic. You know, it's part of the game.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, it's like,
you got to be done.
A second game might be a little funner.
Yeah, let's not board wipe one more time. Right. Yeah. I appreciate that. Thank you for the salt.
You got it. Happy salting. Is that a phrase? Are we using that now?
Happy salting. I love it.
Happy salting.
Happy salting,
everyone.
The lovely Bobby Christine. Thank you, Bobby. I love how specific that one is. Control magic at the hour and a half mark.
Yeah. It's like,
yes, this is not the time to be board wiping. This is not the time to be slinging those hard counter spells. Like, let's just let the game fucking end.
Yeah, that it's just good. Like,
yeah.
Yep.
And they're right, right? Because it's like, it is a part of the game, whatever. Blue still fucking sucks. We know we hate it. But like, that's really when you hate it the most. Like, when it's like, can't we just have another game? Wouldn't that be more fun at this point? Like,
yeah.
Nobody enjoys a magic game at the hour and a half mark.
It is super brutal. All right.
What's your name?
I'm Mike.
Mike, what makes you salty?
Anytime Dan touches my cards.
Why? Dan, are you got the Cheeto fingers?
No,
dude?
I just touch him because I know he doesn't like it.
And why don't you like your cards getting touched?
Because if I leave a fetch land out too long, he's putting it in my graveyard for me. It's like, dude.
Oh, he's cleaning up your shit for you.
Dude,
I'm not fast enough for him.
Oh, yeah.
He thinks I'm old and decrepit.
the clean game actions. He's like, that's Niyar, that's there. I get it.
And the fact that he puts Yargles in my shoes.
Oh, the Yargles.
I mean, that's just wrong.
Well, thank you for the salt. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
The Yargles, dude. The Yargle crew. Oh, man. This is actually a very unique salt. I've seen this happen, and I've been this person before, where someone casts an instant or sorcery and leaves it on the battlefield and then continues their game actions. And I'll like reach across and grab it and put it in their yard. Mm. And I never really realized that that's rude until right now.
I feel like I'm so bad at doing that, at being like, oh, I've played this instant or sorcery spell and now it's just on my board. And then like halfway through the turn, I'm like, oh shit, well, this shouldn't be here.
It's fine for Doomblade to be a permanent.
It's a good
Something
vibe. It's a
that.
Vibe.
Something wrong with that.
Yo, hit us with another.
Yeah, let's do it. This is a good one.
So what's your name?
My name's Andrew, or Green Bean.
Hell yeah, Green Bean. And what makes you salty?
Landfall in casual EDH.
Landfall?
Wow. Yeah, the whole shebang.
Just land.
This is
entering
a take.
The battlefield.
This is a take. I mean, the game's kind of balanced around playing one a turn, and the fact that it's taboo to even touch lands in casual is it's like playing with training wheels, in my opinion.
Honestly, man, I kind of agree. I think people, like, someone will get 6 or 8 lands out of their deck, and yeah, people are just like, yeah, they're just getting value. It's not like a huge thing, you know what I mean?
But when you have Skewed Swarms that multiply and spread. And
then all those decks do.
Oh, yeah. Every single deck. Yeah, you can't even counter lands, yep. So it's just,
yeah, get
don't
fucked,
touch
I guess.
Me. It's yeah, exactly. But that, you can't do that in casual.
Yeah,
that's
yeah, true. People don't like that.
Exactly. Other than that, I'm good to go.
That's good salt, man.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Thank
well, I appreciate
dude.
It, guys.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I like that you like were like, yeah, I agree. It's kind of like training wheels. Meanwhile, you're fucking bringing Simic bullshit cascade decks and like,
yeah,
doing
I'm not putting lands in,
bullshit.
Tony. I'm not putting any extra lands in.
Shit, you are.
cut these mics. I do really love that take though, man.
Yeah.
Because I said in the soundbite, people will not bat an eye at ramping like 4 land.
Yeah.
But then if you try to destroy those 4 land, they're like, whoa, like the whole table will be like, whoa, that's not cool, dude. You know what I mean?
It's like an endangered card type. It's like any other remove. Like if imagine a world where some other card type had like the same social contract of like, yeah, we just think it's nice for everyone to be allowed to leave their enchantments out.
Yeah.
Like, no.
I think I actually like the training wheels comment the most. Because that's the, like, he's like, right. Like, I mean, what you want to do in Magic is get more resources to play more cards than do the thing. And it's like, it kind of is that. It's like, you just get away with it automatically and, like, get ahead of people. Like, if you're in green, your deck's ramping hard and probably better. And that's just, like, how it is. But I like green, so I'm going to keep doing that. But, you know, whatever.
I mean, I think, like, if you were ramping one extra land a turn, it doesn't really like trigger alarms until it's almost too late. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
It is a very weird thing. It doesn't quite hit the same way that like if you had a huge board of creatures or a big grip of cards in your hand, like people aren't keeping an eye out for a shit ton of land on board or a ton of mana production until it's at that point where it's like a gross amount. It's like, oh, I'm making 20 mana on turn 6. And they're like, okay, that's a little too much.
Yeah,
you know who's good about that? Fucking Nick, because I remember when I used to play my Omnoth deck, I was like ramping like a motherfucker. It was turn like 4 and I already had like 7
lands,
I think.
Yeah.
And he countered like some spell I had that was another land ramp. I was like, what the fuck? And he's like, dude, you already have like 7 lands. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
I was like, whatever, it's bullshit. But
it's so true.
Distinctly remember that.
Let's hit another one.
What's your name?
Olive.
And what makes you salty, Olive?
Horrendously bad Stax players. So in my local,
me too.
I play Karak Sakashima.
Yep.
And in my local meta, I play a lot of Stax guys, and two of my best friends like to play like Urza and then another Winconless Stax deck in Abzan.
Winconless Stax?
That's Timna Kamal, right?
Oh, where they're like, but I'm going to attack.
I know, they're like, yeah, I could swing over 92 turns and win.
Yeah.
And when you play a Stax piece, that like a turn 1 Root Maze, you're probably not winning the game.
This guy played a turn one Sphere of Resistance earlier today.
And I did win the game, though.
Well, that's fair. And that's fair. But I played a game where, you know, a guy had a really, really good turn one, and then the opponent goes, oh, I'll play three ball, and they shut out anyone else from interacting on the dude's next turn where he won the game.
Yeah. That's the problem. So I used to be a big stacks player. I played Marath,
yeah,
stacks.
Yeah.
And recently took out all the stacks, or most of the stacks. There's still some, like, you know, like Manglehorn and shit like that. Like that kind of soft stacks.
Yeah, that's good stacks, yeah.
But because I was noticing that people would remove it and then unlock another player, and then that player wins.
And that's the other thing, is the inability to play under stacks. Right?
Yeah. And also, if you're playing weekly, it makes the game so long. You get targeted a lot. People don't like it. I don't know.
People really take 5 minutes to draw, play a land, and go, I attack the black player. Okay, bye.
Yeah, it's like you can only cast one spell a turn. Your turn should be fast.
Yeah, and you played it already, so I think you're not doing anything else.
That gets me. Yeah. Is people cast a spell under a roll on, then they're like, well, what else will I do? It's like, probably nothing.
Well,
thank you so much for the solo. Appreciate it.
It's so, I love this one. I really do think stacks gets a bad rap because the table can't deal with playing or like through stacks. Like,
yeah,
if you have nothing to do, you have nothing to do. Draw, go. Like, just do that. Accept it.
Yeah.
Like, if you have stuff to do, then do it. But you don't need to sit there like thinking about how miserable your situation is. Just play through it and you'll get to the other side of it so much quicker.
I definitely agree with that. I just think, unfortunately, that is how Magic players play Magic in the current state of time. Like, all players do that. They're just like, ugh. They're going to draw their cards, sit there, think about it, and then eventually pass, even though they know they can't fucking do shit because you just fucking hate it. It's like it's bad feels, bad vibes.
Get good, though.
I think you're totally right, though, the end there when you're talking about Rule of Law. I can't tell you how many times Sam would cast a fucking Rule of Law and like have to remind people, like somebody would play a spell and then be like, and I'm gonna, and he's like, are you? Because Rule of Law's out. Like so many fucking times. Fuck Rule of Law.
Yeah, I honestly wonder if like in those instances, if it would be better after your first spell resolves, if I just say, and that's your only spell because there's a Rule of Law.
Yeah.
And just like say it. It's like, don't even go in the tank. Don't even bother thinking of what your next move is going to be because you don't have it. You should just pass.
Yeah. The only nuance there is like deafening silence or Rule of Law. Like sometimes you want people to think someone else can still play a spell so that you're not forcing their interaction. But then it's like there's some nuance of not wanting to call to attention that someone can't cast a spell sometimes. But I think that's a very uniquely CDH event.
Yeah, that is very true. Yeah, you might want to like play it kind of cool, but let's do a few more.
What's your name?
Andrew.
What makes you salty, Andrew?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't get salty.
Wow. I bet I can.
Oh yeah, not drawing cards. Or no, drawing 20 of my 29 lands in a CEDH game.
Oh my god.
That
when did this happen?
Mike, this weekend. Ugh. Ask about it.
That's disgusting.
It's
you just
gross.
Got nothing? You were just mana flooded
in a CDH deck. I drew so many lands in a CDH deck.
What
that
were you drawing them with? Did you have like engines on board and stuff?
Rhystic
like
Study and Mystic Remora.
Oh my god. I don't wish that on anyone. It fucking sucks.
Drawing lands in CEDH games in general.
Yeah.
Makes me pretty salty.
Trash.
Yeah.
That's why you cut them all. That's why you cut all the lands.
Yeah. I'm going down to 21 lands.
Yeah, go to 20, dude. Push it down.
Like
18.
Run like a standard list in regards to lands.
Yeah, and then add get a standard list, add 40 additional cards.
Yeah, exactly.
Good salt.
That's some good deck building advice in there too.
Yeah. We're an educational podcast.
So Mike, we were asked by Andrew to ask you.
This is exactly what happened. He drew so many lands. Like, I think Mulligan down to like 5 or something, like had to go a little bit low. But then truly like Fish and Rhystic. And we like played around it just enough that he wasn't drawing, you know, like a full grip. Like it wasn't like he was up to like 8 or 10 cards. But like every time someone didn't play around it, it was like, okay, like this will be the card that will get him back into the game. Land. Every time. And I think he literally of the top, let's see, I think it was probably of the top 12 cards of his deck, 8 of them were lands.
Oh my god. Oh
shit. Or rocks, like maybe like 7 lands, 1 rock, and like then 3 actual cards of action or something. It was
That's insane.
It was just so sad. Yeah, that was brutal. that would have made me salty too. The table gasped every time the next land got played. Because I think there was a point where he went down to zero cards in hand, so we kind of, or like one or two cards in hand, maybe with some revealed information or something. So it was very clear to everybody every time that he ripped a card off of his hand. I think he revealed his hand at some point to be like, sorry, I can't deal with this, I just have lands. And then continued to play a land for like three more turns in a row.
Oh my god, dude, so fucking bad. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. That's why Blue Farm sucks.
Runs too many lands.
Just
too many lands.
All right, let's hit another.
What's your name?
Zeb. I'm Zeb, known as Zeb of the Cube on Playing with Power.
Also known as Zeb That Cube Guy that on cube the Howling Salt Mine podcast.
Ask me about my cube.
What makes you salty?
What makes me salty is when I have like this really sick hand in seat one with Lotho, like, I am ready to just like go the fuck off on turn two.
Yep.
And then seat two, who is Alana, has Rog'Sai and then just full sends a turn one combo kill. And I'm just sitting there like, wow, this would have been sick. And then like, I'm like, hey, seat three and seat four players, you're on blue. You got anything? And they're like, no.
Oh my God.
I'm like, all right. Okay.
Well, fuck me, I guess.
I guess I'm dead. Guess I'll die. That's what makes me salty.
That's good salt. That's fresh salt.
That's fresh
I can tell.
Salt. Yeah.
That is fresh.
Oh, that is like 5 minutes ago fresh.
Oh, dude, that is so good. I appreciate the salt.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Zeb from Playing With Power.
Shouts out to the Lotho CDH brew, though. Him and I cooked that shit up. I mean, he cooked it and I cooked it. And then we were like, what's your recipe got for the salt? How many teaspoons?
That's just brutal.
Yeah, dude.
Like, you just didn't have it any chance to do anything. Like, just get fucked. That's all it is.
Zoom on that Rog'Sai shit. It's going to go fast.
It goes fast. That is, like, one of the big bummers of CDH is sometimes you just draw, like, the most banger hand. You're like, I have such a clear path to victory. I'm going to get a turn two win or a turn three win. Like, it's coming. And then someone else just wins ahead of you. And you're like, cool.
Faster.
I'll never, ever play this hand. I'll never get it again. Another game.
I mean, that's the real travesty, right? That you'll never get that hand again.
The unplayed hand.
You'll never get to play it.
It is actually like a big thing to think about too when you're playing CDH is like, who's the fastest deck at the table? Because like, you got to play your hand differently sometimes.
Yeah.
Depending on whether you're actually the fastest. Granted, if I'm in seat one and I've got a turn two win attempt, I'm feeling pretty speedy.
Yeah. Pretty confident there, dude.
So pretty sad when that doesn't pan out.
Yeah. All right, this next one is from the guy who said we had a good podcast.
It's a good podcast.
So what's your name?
Okay, my name is Daniel.
And what makes you salty, Daniel?
Okay, I guess there is one thing that makes me salty, and I've actually complained about it on the internet a lot, so anybody who knows me, this won't be a surprise, but I have every token that all of my decks need, and I have a lot of decks, and they make a lot of tokens. And you can use a face-down Magic card, that's fine, or whatever. Infinite tokens, shout out.
Yeah, sponsor. Infinite tokens are great.
But when people use dice as tokens...
Oh my God, yes.
It's almost... I feel like it's... borderline cheating. I mean, you could intentionally cheat by using
Just sometimes stray dice are just on the board, you know.
Yeah, 100%. And you have two dice. One of them is 5/5s. One of them's 1/1s. And you can just. I'm not going to remember that.
And this one's actually floating mana. And
I've got six green in the pool. So that I don't. I talked to you yesterday. I don't really get salty, but I see that and it's it irks me.
I mean, I think that's good salt. Yeah. I like that,
dude.
Yeah. Irksome for sure.
I fucking hate it when people use dice to represent tokens. I think that is the most like fucking sandbox schoolyard bullshit.
But you mean like exclusively like I'm picking up a dice and this dice is now a 1/1, not like they have a 1/1 and like I have three 1/1s and now I'm putting a dice on it to represent that.
Yeah,
that's totally valid. Yeah. If you have one card and you want to say how many you have of the die, like great. It gets a little complicated if you put +1/+1 counters on it, but hey, we can figure that out.
Yeah.
But if you are like this 1/1 is a 1/1 and these green threes are 3/3s. Mm. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Not.
It's just not going to fly.
It goes in the same vein as when people are like, oh, well, I have an anthem that gives all my creatures +1/+1. So I'm just going to put like a 2 on this die over the power of all my 1/1 tokens. I'm like, please don't do that.
Yeah.
I can remember that they have +1/+1. Please do not add a counter where one does not exist as a game piece.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like representation of board state that pays homage to being clear.
Yeah,
it's actually just not.
I like that.
I remember, I forget who it was. I think it might have even been you, Tony, because the thing is, I'm guilty.
Tony has
too.
Definitely done this with like snakes and
yes.
Zyrus and shit.
Yep. And like, I'm guilty of
and
this too. Like, I used to.
And gave.
I
and
used
Marath.
To do that shit, you know?
But I have like, so I many green. Snake tokens.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I remember I was playing against someone and they had like a set of white dice and a set of green dice, and they were setting the white dice out as like 1/1s and the green dice out as 3/3 beasts. So that example I had earlier is from like real life. And then they just had a third token and it was like fine, right? But then they had a third token type introduced and they were just like didn't have a third unique die. And it was like, well, okay, but the ones on this side of the mat are the 3/3 beasts, the ones on this side of the mat are the 1/1s, and then these ones in the middle are like the 4/4s or whatever. And it was just like, I can see.
I can see.
It's just awful, dude. So shitty.
That's not no bueno. No bueno.
All right, let's round the bend here, folks.
Okay. So what's your name, good sir?
Hey man, I'm Eric Number Knower. I tweet.
Hell yeah.
I do tweets.
You do tweets.
Yeah, I do a couple tweets.
And what makes you salty, Eric?
What makes me salty is when you've made the right decision by removing someone's piece or, you know, their creature, their land. But they get mad at you, but they know it was the right decision.
Yeah.
that's the stuff that gets me. Because then if you don't do it and they win, it's like, man, I should have done it.
I'm fucking deleting this one, man, because that's the shit I do.
No, it gets me.
I will never admit that it was the right move to get rid of my shit until like weeks later. I'll be like, yeah.
You're like, yeah,
actually, that was pretty good, though.
Yeah, yeah. If I'm making the wrong call, I'm always down to get blown out. But if it's the right call and I get yelled at, it's like, come on now.
It's objectively the right choice. It's hard, though, man. Sometimes you just get so salty. I don't know. I feel you, though. That's a good salt.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it.
That is good.
I should have not played this one.
You need
at least
to.
You go on record. Yeah, this is a salty confessional. Actually, is what it was.
I'm so guilty of this one, man. Like, I will never admit that removing my shit was the right move.
No, fucking worst.
We know. It makes your complaints fall on deaf ears at this point. You are the boy who cried wolf.
Oh no, I gotta fix that, man. I don't know, you get salty, man. I never want to admit that blowing up my shit was right.
Well, the cases where blowing up your shit was right is also the cases where that shit was really important to you.
Yeah.
So definitely. It's definitely the moments that the tensions are highest during.
I'm trying to do that better, though. I don't know. I feel like I'm getting a little bit better. I'm not holding off for weeks anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
But I will wait until the very end of a game and be like, yeah, that was the right move. I was about to win.
Yeah.
All right, let's finish it off with one more here.
All right, what's your name?
Josh.
And what makes you salty, Josh?
When I tell a friend or acquaintance about a new deck idea, something I've built, they ask for the deck list. They want to see it. I'm not asking for recommendations. They give recommendations. They ask me to cut the bad cards that I start. The deck was built around that bad card that I love. And they're like, you know, it'd actually be optimal if you put all these like top tier removal spells and protection and combos in. I was like, well, that's kind of not the point. I didn't ask. Thank you for the recommendations, but I'm going to keep playing this jank that I love.
That's such a true thing. Like, you show someone a deck list and they're like, did he consider this? Did he consider that? And you're like,
yeah, no, I did.
I'm not.
I've used Scryfall a few times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've looked at it. I don't want that in the list, but thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm never going to ask you for recommendations again. Yeah.
That's good salt,
thanks,
dude.
Thanks, man. Yeah,
thank
yeah.
you.
I had to get that off my chest. So,
I appreciate that.
A little bit of deck building salt.
That is such a good salty take, dude.
Yeah.
I think that's something that I've unconsciously done to people and not realized.
Yeah.
But I think, I don't know. It depends on if it's like, like kind of to his point of like, you're like, oh, you should actually just slot in all of these like higher tier, like higher power cards, as opposed to like, oh, here's this like weird janky thing. Did you find that? Like, and I feel like, to be honest, for you and Mike, like the both of you tend to be like, there's this weird fucking card. Have you found this? Like, could you slot this in somewhere? And it's usually not so much of pointing a card.
I'm never going to be like, oh, you should really put Ristic in there.
Yeah. That is a very good point. But even then, though, like, I think there is a valid salt to being like, check out this list I just finished. And then someone's like, did you consider this? Did you consider that? It's like, the list is done. You know, like I'm not looking to purchase more cards and rebuild the deck.
Yeah.
And get back in. I've finished my brewing stage. I just want to show it off.
Honestly, for me, don't even show it to me. Play it against me and that'll be great. But I'm not going to be able to withhold dumping cards. Yeah, Sam knows. I'm not going to be able to withhold like dumping card suggestions on top of a deck that I see, because that's the first that is my form of appreciation for, you know, the art form of deck building is like thinking about
what if I give you 10 more things that
how my unique spin on that would be.
Lately I've been finding myself in the same space where if someone shows me a list and it's like finished, I might like peek at it and be like, hey, it seems like a cool brew, but I'm never gonna do like a real deep dive looking at all the cards, because as soon as I do that, I'm going to have recommendations.
Mm.
And if they don't want the recommendations, like it's just wasted energy for me. You know what I mean? Like I just Scryfall searched for an hour and I think I'm giving you the hot spice and you're like, I'm not even going to read the text you sent.
I'm aware of that. It's really, it's salty in both ways. It's like giving and receiving recommendations that don't fit like the theme of the deck, or like really like kind of just don't get the vibe of what the deck is trying to do. It's frustrating on both sides, I think, because it's like, well, I guess we're not really talking about this in the same way. We can't share this excitement in the way that I thought we were going to.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons why in our deck building forum in our Patreon Discord, we have a bunch of different categories. You can, like, there's a specific deck tag that says just sharing.
Mm-hmm.
To basically be like, don't give me advice. And then there's like a seeking advice one as well that you can tag if you want the advice, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
Love it. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up, guys. We hit a ton of these salty takes and I wish we could hit them all. Believe it or not, we really just recorded like 30 minutes of audio from people, and it turns out that translates to like 20 or 30 salty takes that we got from people at the con. You know, we hope that the folks out there appreciated it. Thank you to everybody that gave us a salty take for this episode. And hopefully you found it pretty entertaining and enlightening. It was certainly fun for us to record and for us to chat about. So,
yep.
We hope that you guys enjoy it too.
Hopefully you like that little snippet of con life there with all the ambient joy of people casting spells happening in the background.
I really loved editing like the ambient audio. Like I toned it down a little bit. It was a little bit louder and noisier in the original cut, but there were some tracks where I could hear you guys having a conversation with someone else in the background while I'm like interviewing someone, and like someone walks up and they're like, are you the Howling Salt Mine guys? And you're like, oh yeah, I am. And he's like, oh, whoa. Like, you know, it's just like capturing these little snippets of those fun con moments.
Did you also hear when you yelled at us for talking too close to it a couple of times, once or twice?
I think I did. Yeah. I was like, can you guys get away from me? I think that was literally the one I was just talking about.
Oh, I know it was. Mom but yelled at good us. Shit.
So no salty card of the week this week, because this is a different type of episode, but we'll be right back to the typical salt next week. That salt that you crave, that you love, that we bring up in our salt mine cart every week. That was much smoother in my head.
Yeah, it was great.
No, it was smooth in real world too. Yeah.
Yeah, it was smooth in words also. Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, it was smooth like cottage cheese. Well, thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. And a special thanks to our Salt Packet Plus tier members. You know, we got to shout them out at the end of every single episode. And this week we have Rothbox, Bathroom Entity, Bobo Fett, Random Mouse Cop, Chameleon, Captain Kraz, Clearbrook, Doug's Dad, Bark Bark, Firehawk Ash, Ebes, Joe Danson, Pez, Vok, D. Beeson, and Thotimus Prime.
Thotimus Prime.
Oh, baby.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for being so lovely and sweet. We love all of you. We love all of you.
Shukran.
Shukran, Habibi.
Hell yeah.
What?
That's thank you in Arabic.
Oh, is it? Oh, I love that. And thank you to everyone else out there in Howling Saltmine land for tuning into another episode of the Howling Saltmine and hanging out with us every single week. We really hope you enjoyed this one this week. And if you want more Howling Saltmine in your life, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/Howling Saltmine. That's where you can find our extra salt series, our stray grains. You can get into our Discord. We're doing monthly game nights, sharing decks, talking about episodes as they're dropping. You know we're going to be talking about this one since there's so many friggin' salty takes to discuss. So if you want a little bit more of that Howling Saltmine, check it out. It's a really fun time. Another way to support the show is to send us your salty stories. You can send them to us at our website, which is the Howling Saltmine, or howlingsaltmine.com. We have a lovely little entry form that you can fill out there and send us your stories. It'll go directly to our mailbox. It's nice and easy to use. Or if you want, you can just email us at our Gmail, which is thehowlingsaltmine@gmail.com. Another way you can support us is to check out our merchandise. Most importantly, our playmats that we have for sale through jankmats.com. Our lovely friends over at Jankmats are producing high-quality products, the thickest of thickiest mats. But these mats are fucking dumpy,
the thickest
dude.
Of the thickiest.
Yeah, these are some, like, dump truck mats.
That makes them sound bad.
No, like a sweet...
Oh, they're actually dope.
Yeah, they're fucking dope. Not like trash a dump truck, but like a juicy booty. You know?
What? Oh no.
Do you know? Have I told you this, that my brother's screen name was Juicy Booty 69?
Can that stay in the episode?
yeah, sure. I think that's just for like a league account he doesn't use anymore.
It's so good. Damn.
But these mats are thick. They are high quality images. They're beautiful products. So check them out. Some other merch that we have are our lovely Bonfire shirts. It's the only place you can get Howling Saltmine swag. We got our 1-800 Are You Flapping shirt. Blue is a trash color for trash people. All that kind of shit that you love. You can get it at our Bonfire. All the links for this stuff are in the show notes. So go check it out. Another way you can support the show is to give us a 5-star review on Spotify or in the podcast app of your choice. That's going to help us stick out in the algorithm, help more people find us as our podcast gets suggested to them. And it's just going to help grow the podcast organically. It's actually kind of the number one way you can support the podcast. So if you haven't done that yet, consider doing it. It really does help us out. Another way to help us out is to go to Asheville, North Carolina and get tattooed by our buddy JD Burnett. It doesn't really help us out, but JD's cool and he deserves your business. And he also gave us our amazing podcast art that we have every single week.
10,000 subscribers are bust.
Indeed. Well, thanks again, everybody. And I hope you enjoyed this lightning round of salt. We definitely did. And like I said, if you like it, let us know. We'll do more of these in the future. If you didn't like it, the best way to file those complaints are in the form of a 5-star review in your favorite podcast app of choice. Or, you know, pay for the highest tier in Patreon. You can just really tell us.
Yeah. We'll listen if you hit the highest tier.
All right. Stay salty, everybody. And don't forget to draw an additional card during your draw step.
It's the Howling Saltmine.
Can you just edit this in earlier, Sam? I'm sorry.
No.
It's a pen name.
I never manipulate the audio for my personal gain, Mike. I've never, ever completely re-recorded my part through a segment to make myself sound less cringe.
You can even
never done
this just for the actual part.
Two split. Oh, my God. What is the Golgari? Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Witherbloom, two split Witherbloom.
Oh, God.
I've had my cheeks clapped many a time by Nick specifically.
If it's like 10.
It's not going to be 10.
Yeah.
It'd be like 9. I think 4 more. We down to do 4 more?
It was 10.
My God.
I know.
It was at least 10.
I fucking got you.
It was 10. You did not get me. I knew what was going on.
But now I've trapped you.